Therefore, they are certainly prophetic of him. You should read Isaiah chapter 53. Really, it should begin with 52 verse 13 and continue through the end of chapter 53. But, chapter 53 verse 3 says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." They had scourged him. He had wounds. Stripes are the wounds of a whipping. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He would rise from the dead. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." That is such a powerful prophecy. And it speaks without a doubt to the man Christ. And in fact, it is so compelling. The skeptics, by reason of this prophecy, would begin to say that Jesus was not a historical figure, that they just made him up to fit that prophecy. That's why the cloth that the Catholic Church is holding in Turin, Italy, is so important. Because I don't think it proves any miracle, though it surely suggests one, does it not? But what it does prove, and what it will prove, it has proven to be a first century cloth. And if you aren't up on the science on it, if you're still dwelling back in the 80s when the carbon dating was done and haven't realized that science has continued to study this object, go to shroud.com. Go there and read the mistakes that were made in the taking of the sample. They took the sample that was carbon dated from a repair area of the cloth. An agnostic, unbelieving scientist who went to his grave in unbelief proved it. Ray Rogers. And there has been continuing research on this cloth. It is a first century cloth. And it is an image of a crucified man. It was in contact with a real corpse. It has real blood stains on it. Only one man of all the scientists who ever saw it disagreed, and he's been thoroughly discredited. All you have to do is do a little research. If you're lazy and you just want to brush it off, then brush it off. It's you who are the loser. Because the proof exists that the man Jesus Christ did exist. We have an object that actually touched his body. It is certainly, and though it is not proof, it is very suggestive, isn't it? It may not be scientific proof. It would certainly suffice to put a little faith in something. I tell you what, scientific rigor, one thing. But I'll tell you what, by scientific rigor, we've established many things about that cloth. Its origin. Its, and many other things. I mean, I'm not going to get into a dissertation on all the amazing things that the Shroud of Turin holds, all the secrets it holds. There are many excellent books and all kinds of research. Go to shroud.com. Read all the research papers that are posted there, like I have. Read them all, like I did. I get always irritated with people who talk and they've never done any research. They've never done any reading. I've read all the papers. You know, they say, oh, what about the Gospel of Thomas? I've read the Gospel of Thomas. Did you read the Gospel of Thomas? Because I read the Gospel of Thomas and rejected it. You know why? Because I read it and I could just tell. It had that fake gospel feel. I can judge these things, can't you? You know, but you let other people always direct you. Always letting other people tell you what to think. Always letting other people. But what have you done yourself? You're just hearing the reports. I've taken in the witness of hundreds. I've taken in the witness of thousands. And I believe the witness of the apostles of Jesus Christ above all. But I've seen other things bear witness, and there's a lot of testimony in the science that has been done on that cloth. That is provides very compelling, if not proof, it is certainly suggestive. It commends itself to our attention and to our earnest consideration. What have we here? And I'll tell you what, I'm not a person easily taken in. For years I thought, well, the carbon dating proved that came from the 15th century. Well, that was wrong. And if you aren't acquainted with it, your loss. Your loss. I'm telling you. One man to another. Are you really interested in these things? I notice there are some people who don't believe, but they're so interested in religion. They talk about religion. They're so into Christianity. There's so many atheists. I mean, I tell you what, I have a lot of respect for atheists who are just atheists. You know, that's what they believe. What amazes me are the ones who are just so well, you know, acquainted with Christianity. They're so into it because they talk about it all the time. And I say, God, what is in their hearts? They have such hatred. But, you know, I understand where it comes from. God has blinded their eyes. Verse 29. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?